Greet you again in the precious name of Christ. Blessing to see those many children up front here, and such a blessing that children are. We have in our congregation a lot of young children as well, and so it crowds in front benches at children's meeting, and that is a beautiful sight, because this afternoon we want to talk about the brotherhood, and that's the future brotherhood. There they were, and not only the future brotherhood, but the future servants of the kingdom, we trust, and the sobering responsibility that we as parents have of preparing them for that. But to use those five senses for the kingdom of God, we're able to do that. As we think of respect in the brotherhood, we think of the brotherhood, we think of the church. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I want to think about the church and some aspects about the church and go on from there. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. This morning we talked about different levels of authority. We have different aspects of authority as well in the church. Colossians 1 and verse 18, it talks about Jesus Christ. It says, "But he, Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Thinking about the order of authority and the respect for that authority. But here we have Christ. He is the preeminence. He is the head of the church. He is the leader. And if it wasn't for Christ, there would be no church. It is his church. He is the one that established the church and set the church there as a group of believers, an organized way to continue on the work that Christ has started. When he came and he was preaching the gospel, preaching the kingdom of heaven. That was his message: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But when he left 3 years later, he handed that work over to the church. He handed over to the brotherhood, so to speak, and the church was established. But he is the head of the body, the church. Now, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 talks a lot about the spiritual gifts in the body. In verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 18, here it says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him." So notice here that God set the members. Jesus is the head of the church, but God set the members as it pleased him. Now go over to verse 4, chapter 12 and verse 4. I'm going to read a few verses here. It says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." So here we see that there's various aspects of the church. There is different gifts in the church. We can talk about that for a while. There's different gifts and abilities that God has given to individuals in the church. And it's a blessing that there is diversities of gifts. And I think it's also a blessing that not every one of us has all the gifts. Okay, the brother was up here leading singing. He has a gift, I believe, of doing that. I couldn't do that if you asked me to do that. Okay, that's just not one of my abilities. But God has set these things. But you know, the brother was leading songs, and God has not called me to do that. He has called me to preach the word and take care of other things in the church. But it's the same Lord that we can serve. There's differences of administrations. You know, there's different ministries within the church. Okay, your school is a ministry of the church. And then there's, I heard y'all going singing at the at the nursing homes. That is an administration of the church. It is some of those ministries that God has set in the church, but it's the same Lord, the same head that calls for all those different work of the church. There's diversities of operations. There's different workers in the kingdom. There's different parts of that work, of the school. You don't all have just teachers. You got the school board. You got the principals. Okay? It's just one example of the operations. Verse 6 talks about, but it's the same Lord that worketh all in all. And if I understand the German correctly, that word all in all would mean he works everything in everyone, I think is what the German would say. It's the same Lord, same God that worketh everything in everyone. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And so this same Spirit, so that the whole body that God has set up can profit by that. And these are among the members that God has set up. Now in verse 28, chapter 12, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Notice again that God has set these things up. Ephesians 4 gives us some of those same thoughts of the leaders of the church, the different aspects of the leadership that God has placed in the church. Actually, in 1 Corinthians, when it says that, he talks about those that lead out, the ministry of the church. But then after that, it gives a other number of different things that God has said in the church that work among the laity. But Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now notice why God gave that. Why did he set these things up in the church? It says in verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God set these things up in the church, as it has pleased him. Now, it's continue on verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It tells me that he sets these people there for this work, for verse 12. And how long is that? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and on and on. So I think that means till Christ returns. Because we continuously can grow in these things. We can think about it. The unity of the faith. That is takes continual work. It's not that we establish a brotherhood. We establish unity and it always stays that way. Brothers and sisters, unity takes work. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the stature of the fullness of Christ. And brothers and sisters, that takes the rest of our lives. So remember, God has set this thing up. This is the brotherhood we're talking about this afternoon. And God set these things as it hath pleased him. Now, as we think about this part of it, and as we think of the leaders, let's think of respect. The different levels of respect, the different levels of authority and respecting each other. First of all, we want to talk about the leaders' respect for the members. Again, that same principle is true we talked about this morning of the parents showing respect to the children. The leaders need to show respect to the members. So I want to talk to the leaders for a little bit. First of all, now leaders are simply the servants of the church. Scripture talks about ministers, okay? Minister simply means a servant. He is a servant. So in this congregation, you have three servants that are here to serve the church. And servants, you need to be showing respect to your members. 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's look at a few verses there. 1 Peter 5 is a direct reference to the leaders of the congregation, the servants of the congregation. Talks about the elders here. gives us some direction on how we can respect those that God has given us for the work of the church. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What a beautiful picture here of the ministry, the leader's responsibility to the congregation, and how we need to, it says, feed the flock of God. And taking oversight thereof. It's not by constraint. It's not by, look, you need to listen to me. It's not, again, we can't demand respect. Is you're not going to earn it that way. You're not going to get respect that way. You need to earn it. It's the same as works in the home. We need to earn the respect. And of a ready mind. It's not for what we can get out of it. For filthy lucre's sake, but of a ready mind. Not being lords. Not being the big boss with a stick. Okay, and if we have respect for our members, it is so much easier for them to respect us. Okay? And we're going to talk about them after a little bit here, because they need to respect us regardless. Okay? But let's go ahead and earn our respect. Let's go ahead and do it for the Lord. It's the Lord's heritage. That's the thing that we need to remember as leaders. The work that God has given us and the people under our care is God's heritage. And being ensamples to the flock. Again, the ensamples of what? Respect and a lot of other things. And then when the chief shepherd shall appear, let's think about that. He is coming. And he is going to appear. How are we going to appear before him? 2 Timothy chapter 2 gives us some very practical instruction on how to relate to the members under our care. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. Has been a reminder to me as I work with people, and at times some difficult people, not only in the church but beyond. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. The word respect can be right in there. He must not strive, but be gentle, in meekness, instructing those. If a leader is going to show respect to his fellow brothers and sisters, and those under his care, it's going to be with meekness. It should be with meekness. And if there's meekness, respect is right in there with it. So God has set these things up. The other thing we as leaders need to remember, that we also are under authority. Just the way we read in Matthew there earlier this morning, that we are under authority. Under authority of whom? The head of the church. We are not the head of the church. We are simply servants and under the authority of Jesus Christ. And he is the one that gives us that direction. So let us show respect with patience, with meekness, with understanding, listening ear, number of things that we could talk about in the practical aspects of it. But the second one we'll look at is members towards the leaders. 1 Thessalonians 5 gives a admonition to the brethren towards the leaders. I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, but now we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all, your leaders who are over you in the Lord, and those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you, and hold them very high and most affectionate esteem in intelligent and sympathetic appreciation of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. That's 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. But it tells us to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and to respect them. It says, "And those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort." That's where the Amplified puts it. "And to hold them in high esteem and appreciation for the work." And it says, "And be at peace among yourselves." I think that's interesting that he mentions that admonition there to the church members to be at peace among themselves. It is one of the ways of showing respect to the leaders, because the leaders try so hard to keep unity in the church, to keep peace in the church, to lead out in the God-given responsibilities that they have, and to be at peace is a wonderful way to show respect, and it's God's plan for you. And appreciate their work. But there will be those times of warning and reproof and exhort. So what are some ways that members could show respect or could get to know it? It says, "Get to know those which labor among you and are over you." So what are some ways that you get to know your leaders? It's saddened to me as I think of some groups of people that they have their leaders in a pedestal someplace, and you can't hardly get to know them, and you can't hardly, and they fear them. Not with respect and awe, but they fear them because of what they might do to them if they violate something, and they don't get to know them. Maybe the other thing I should plug in here while we're talking about getting to know them is that the leaders should get to know the people as well. I heard of a church one time that carries the name Mennonite, but the pastor said he's just not much of a people person. He comes in the side door and sits up front and preaches and all that, and after the service he kind of slips out the side again, and he's just kind of uncomfortable being among so many people, but yet he's the pastor of the church. Well, he's called the pastor of the church, okay? A pastor is going to lead the flock. He's not leading the flock. He gets up there every Sunday morning and tells them something, but he's not a leader. He does not get to know them. You can't lead people that way, okay? But here it says that the brethren need to get to know the leaders, know them which labor among you. How are some ways? Well, one very obvious way, you know, invite them to your homes, and I'm sure you do that. And know also that it is okay to visit with your leaders in everyday things. And I'm sure you do that too. I'm not talking a group here that I don't think struggles with this. But you know, the leaders are brethren from among you. They're under authority as well. And they enjoy visiting about everyday things and a lot of other things, you know, spiritual things. It's a blessing that we can have as we can share together. But you know, as you sit down, not only talk about everyday things, but you talk about the things of God, you get to know your leaders. Is their heart really in it? There's a difference. If there is a difference between what you hear Sunday morning in the sermons and the way you talk to them afterward or on the job on Wednesday afternoon, if there is a big difference, you have reason to be concerned. I was in a church one time down there in the sunny south visiting one Sunday evening, and it was in a community church there that they had invited me to come and visit them sometime, and so as a family, we went, and interestingly, there was more pastors there from different churches than there were people in the pews, and all these pastors needed to get up and say something, and well, one of them happened to know I was a pastor, too, is what they call it anyway, and so he had to get me up there to speak as well. Very fascinating, but quite lively in comparison to what we're used to. But the home pastor there, he was really fired up that evening, and he could hardly stand still and stay still and be quiet enough for us to hear him. And he really invited me to come back and preach for him sometime. It'd be different preaching in a setting like this. You know, there's quite a cultural difference between a Southern Black church and our quiet Mennonite churches. But anyway, he invited me to come back, and I said, "Well, let me think about that." And so I checked with my home pastor, and they said, "Sure, go preach for him sometime." And so I called him later, a week or so later, and I said, "If you still, you know, during the week, got him on the job, and I said, if you want me to come preach for you sometime, I'd be willing to do that." But it sounded like a totally different man than he was behind the pulpit. And he was dead. The emotions were gone. I mean, they were rising high that Sunday night, let me tell you. And he was too. But it was really worked up. But when he came on the job, he was dead. The spirit was, in quotes, was gone. Okay? He was a different person. You had to wonder where the emotions came from and how sanctified they were Sunday night. But I trust our leaders are not that way. But you know what? You really find out if they are. It's a good way to test your leaders, okay? They test them out by discussing the scriptures. See what they believe on different things. And bring it up. Now, what you said there in the sermon, tell me some more about it. You know, you get to know them. It's a great way to do that. And to show them respect. It also says that we are to esteem them very highly. How can we show respect that way? To esteem them, to respect them very highly for their work's sake. Listen to their advice. Brethren, sisters, listen to the advice of your leaders. It is a wonderful way to show respect to them. Does that mean you're going to do exactly what they advise you to do? Not necessarily, okay? There is somewhat of a difference between respect and obedience. Okay, it's not quite the same across the board. I hope you understand what I'm saying. But do listen to their advice. Consider it. It may very well be what you should be doing. Okay? Respect them. Esteem them highly. And go to them for advice. It is another way you can respect them. Another very practical way, and I know you do this, but you pray for them daily. The work of leadership in a congregation is not an easy work. God didn't call some men just an easy work, and that way they don't have to be on all the other committees of the church. By the way, a lot of us are anyway. But it is a lot of things to it. A number of years ago, a minister brother said, preaching is the easiest part of church work. And I thought, easiest part of church work? I mean, preaching is hard. Well, needless to say, that was long before I was ordained. And since that, my eyes have been opened. Anyway, pray for them. There's a lot that goes into that. And not only pray for them, do you ever tell them that you are? Tell them that. That's showing respect and highly esteem them for their work's sake. Another way that you can practically show them that you esteem them, that you respect them, is to heed their preaching and teaching. And remember this also, that they watch for your souls. I referred to the verse in Hebrews 13 this morning. Look at that verse, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. There is an important truth here that we need to remember. He says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." Here talks about obedience. Heeding their teaching and their preaching. Be obedient to that and submit yourselves to that. Be respectful to it. Because of there's an important aspect here. These leaders that God has given you, they are here to watch for your souls. Do they just love and come and tap on your shoulder and say, "Brother, we need to talk about some issue in your life"? Do they love to do that? In one sense, no, they don't. But you know what? The God-given calling is to do that because they watch for your soul. They are concerned where your soul is going to be for eternity. But it admonishes us also that they may do it with joy and not with grief. You know what gives them joy after a hard task like that? Is if you respond in a godly way to that admonition. That is showing respect to them. That is joy to them. And not with grief, because that's unprofitable to you. Okay? So heed them. Esteem them very highly. Respect them for their work's sake. Now let's think about members among themselves. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talked about how God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Just the way He chose to do it. According to what it's going to work out the best. But think of the attitude. I'm going to read a number of verses here. Starting again in verse 19. But think about the attitude of respect in the brotherhood. Respect among ourselves. Verse 19, and if it were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. But now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. Do we see the attitude of respect for every aspect of the church, for every member of the church? Remember, God has placed them there. And verse 21, there's no member here that can tell another one, you know what, we really can do well without you. Okay? I heard about one of your members that is gone for a little while, and a comment was made that we miss him. And that is wonderful. You can't do without the brother. He is a member here. God has set him here for a purpose. And verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Okay? Upon these we be bestowed more abundant honor. It is a lot easier for us. Our flesh would look upon these that we think to be less honorable as being less honorable. That's just the way they are. And we just tolerate it somehow. No, it says we bestow more honor upon those people. That's what this verse says here. It doesn't say God thinks to be less honorable. We think them to be less honorable. And God forbid we do that. But God has tempered the body together. And if God tempers it together, he pulls it together, he sews it together. Scripture talks about building it together. God hath done that. Let's not cause any schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Did we not talk about esteeming or preferring one another above the other? That is respect within the brotherhood. We respect their position. We respect their opinion, their thoughts. Why wouldn't you? You know, we like it if our opinion is respected. We like if our opinion is followed. Okay? The other person does too. Okay? And the beautiful thing that can be blended together when those thoughts and opinions and ideas get blended together. And even the beautiful thing of background of people. Okay? And then the cultural differences that can be brought together. Ephesians talks about the mystery of the fellowship, and I think that's one of them. That brethren can fellowship together from different backgrounds. Okay, we have them this afternoon. There's a couple of different backgrounds, and even religious backgrounds. But we're brought together that God has saved our souls and brought us and set us in the church. Whether it's this one or a different church, as it pleased him, and we can fellowship together and respect each other. Beautiful. Beautiful picture here in these verses. Philippians chapter 2. Again, we have here this mind of Christ. We looked at one verse here this morning. We will look at a few more. What better example than the example of Jesus Christ, the head of the church? He's the one that tells us on how to live and how to respect each other. Just start at verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That talks of high respect for one another. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I think one of those things is our opinions on ways of doing things. It may just be in the small practical things. It may just be those earthly things, or how to have services, or how to do things, leading out in different things, or work of the ministry in any way, or renovations to the church building, or whatever it may be. Look not every man on his own things. It's not just my opinions. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Okay? He said that he was equal with God, and the Pharisees hated him for it. Verse 7, even though he was equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. That's the mind of Jesus this afternoon. Took upon him the form of a servant. We're concerned about a reputation too often. Okay? We really are. What do people think? If I say this, if I do this. But you know what? Let us take upon us the form of a servant and show respect for one another and be able to work together. Again, Romans 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor or respect, preferring one another. So if we prefer the other person's opinion and ways of doing things, imagine how the church can grow and how can flourish and work together. It takes a laying down. Again, remember what I said, what disrespect is. It's selfishness. Disrespect is selfishness. Another important teaching in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Also, a very important thing once it comes to respect in the brotherhood. 1 John 3 verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And that's not just simply talking our physical life, that if I'm willing to do that so that somebody else doesn't have to give down their physical life. But what about, again, my thoughts and ideas? What about my time? Your leaders spend endless time for you, laying down their lives, the things that they could be doing on their projects for the sake of the members. It is a beautiful example of a servant that lays down their life for the others. And brethren, that's what we ought to do, just the way God did for us. We ought to lay down our lives. That's what that means. As we think of respect in the brotherhood, as we think of working together, this morning we talked about the home. Let's consider that, when should this respect start? When should it be taught? Don't wait till they're members of the church to teach them to respect the brotherhood. That happens at home, moms and dads. Respect for the brotherhood starts at home. That teaching starts there with your young children. What are some ways that these need to be taught? I was trying to decide if this should include this morning or this afternoon, but we're talking about the brotherhood. And there's various aspects of that to be taught at home and in the school, but especially at home, as we think of teaching our children. One of the practical ways of teaching our children respect is to never talk disrespectful about the leaders or anyone else for that matter. Okay? Never had fried preacher for lunch. That is very disrespectful. You just don't do that. You can have fried chicken or anything else. That was good at lunchtime today, so continue to have that. Don't talk disrespectfully about your leaders in any way or anyone else. But you know what? That picks up real quickly. I remember as a young boy, I don't know how old I was, old enough to know better, but on a way home from a program at church, there was this dear old couple that in our setting there, we had programs and different family members or people did different aspects of the program, and this dear old couple, they got up and sang a song, just the two of them, and it kind of humored me, because I thought, if they couldn't sing better than that, they shouldn't sing. And I commented about this on the way home, and Dad just calmly said, he said, well, think about it. Maybe your singing isn't any better. He taught me to respect somebody that did the best they could. They were up there and praising the Lord to the best of their abilities. Never talk, teach them not to talk disrespectfully about anybody but and the leaders. Okay? Another practical aspect, teach them to shake hands. Leaders and others at church, talked a little bit about that this morning. I think is a way to show respect to the leaders as well as to others that want to shake their hands and show appreciation for the leaders and church family. You know, if you are at home and you're talking about the leaders, you're talking about other people in the congregation or anyone else for that matter, but talking about the brotherhood in particular this afternoon, talk respectfully about them. There may be aspects that you wish were different, that you wish you could, and maybe you need to tap somebody on the shoulder sometime. But don't bring that up at the supper table. Teach them, show respect. I think an important thing as we think of respect in the brotherhood is that remember that we are a part of the church that Jesus Christ is building. That is something that we need to remember. Jesus told Peter, told the other disciples, I will build my church. And the brotherhood is that church that God is building. And let us take our place and our part in that, in showing respect, highly esteem one another, respect for the authority that God has set up, and the authority for God. You know, if we allow ourselves and our children to talk disrespectfully for the leaders of the congregation, why shouldn't they talk disrespectfully for God himself? And there's phrases that I've heard, and thankfully not among us as much. It's more in the society. They talk about the man upstairs. It's a disrespectful term, okay? They don't mean it that way. They just, it's the way some of them talk out there. But that is disrespectful. Okay, just giving you an example. Let us show respect for God as the authority. Just a thought in closing as we think about the church. Think about the brotherhood. Think about our appreciation for one another. Jesus tells us in John 13, verse 35, he says, By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Let us not disappoint people. Let us show them our love for the church, our love for Jesus Christ. Show them that we are his disciples. People do notice on how we treat each other. The aspect of brotherhood is another thing that in itself is something we can talk about for a while. But that is something that is lost. There's a lot of churches out there, but they're not brotherhoods. They don't even know their people. Okay? There's a difference between church and there's a difference between church and a brotherhood. And this afternoon, we are a brotherhood that God has called to work together as it has pleased him. And it's an opportunity, again, like I said about the home, it's a beautiful opportunity to demonstrate the teaching of the Bible to people and show them the power of Christ and the teaching of Christ and how a church can work together and be his disciples. Let's not let them down and glorify God in all that we do. Let's kneel for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the Lord of the church. We thank you for this head that gave himself so that we can live. Father, we thank you for the establishment of the church to continue on the work that you have established, you have called us to. Father, I thank you for our brothers and sisters that we can work together in unity. You've given us that direction and instruction in righteousness that we can walk in holiness and fulfill your call upon our lives. Help us to be faithful, Father. Help us to draw closer together, love each other more, love you, Father, and walk in your ways. And again, I pray a blessing upon each one here. And Father, go with us and be faithful till you call us home. In Jesus' name, amen.